Welcome to Not Enough Champagne, a manly podcast for manly men. Grrr. My name's Corey Hazelhurst, and my suitably embarrassed parliament propaganda is Steve Haynes. Hello, Steve.
Hi, Corey.
On this midweek shot, we're going to be discussing Harvey Weinstein and the casting couch. Horrible sexual predator. Terrible person. What we don't want to do is mansplain sexual assault. What we are going to talk about maybe how men should talk about sexual assault.
We're basically going to talk about this by breaking this down into two things. One, how not to talk about sexual assault, and two, how to actually do it properly and what men can actually do to help prevent this sort of stuff from happening properly.
Thank you, Steve, for saving my intro. That's what we're going to do after this. Let's talk then about how not to talk about sexual assault. The three examples I'm going to talk about, I'm going to go in order of terribleness, starting with the least terrible. Brett Stevens, who wrote an editorial about Harvey Weinstein, and said that of all the disgusting and dismaying details of the Harvey Weinstein saga, none is more depressing than this. It has so few heroes. Which is weird, because I thought the worst bits were the sexual assault and the rape and stuff.
You'd have thought that, but apparently we just need heroes to make everything right. So if somebody had come waving it, come riding in on a white horse to punch him, would that have made this fine?
If it was Ben Affleck, probably not.
No, definitely not.
Then we've got Seb Gorka, who used to be a national security advisor in the White House.
Thankfully, isn't anymore.
Thank heavens for that. And he said, "Think." Now, you always know a tweet's going to be good when it starts with "think" in big capital letters.
Because it's normally a sign that the author of said tweet hasn't been.
If Weinstein had obeyed Vice President Pence's rules for meeting with the opposite sex, none of those poor women would ever have been abused. Now, for those of you who are not aware of the social mores of Mike Pence, the unfortunate Vice President took from obscurity, he doesn't meet women alone, does he?
No, he doesn't. He has a very... It comes from some part of his faith, where he does not basically put himself in the position where he is left alone with a woman that isn't his wife. I don't know if he has any daughters, but I would assume that they'd be fine to be left alone with as well.
That's probably a handy guide in his wallet.
So yeah, almost. Yeah. Wife, daughters, no one else. Cool. Nice, easy-to-remember list. What about his aunt? He's got to have an aunt.
Or a grandma. Must have a grandma. I found this odd. If a man can't be alone with a woman without feeling like he wants to sexually assault her, then he probably needs to find some sort of help.
Yeah, that's an issue with the bloke.
Yeah.
That's some. Just... It's the idea that somehow the woman is partially responsible for this, that the man himself cannot be blamed for the actions, that by the being in the mere presence of the woman is enough of a temptation, that she her very existence is a temptation to him and his moral standing and stature. It's such a ridiculous and horrific kind of concept in my mind that you view 50% of the human race as nothing more than something that's trying to tempt you. How do they manage to get through the day?
You should not be comparing women to chocolate digestives or Pringles. And that's basically what he seems to be saying.
Pretty much.
That somehow maybe we can't leave Mike Pence alone in a room with some biscuits.
Because he just can't help himself.
Somehow, that isn't even the worst one. The worst one was Tim Montgomery, who is, as we've said before, he's a founder of Unheard, which is a cow social networking network. He's the former head of Conservative Home, and he was outraged. He was outraged, not by Harvey Weinstein, though, Steve. He was outraged by Emma Thompson.
Yes, Emma Thompson gave an interview for Newsnight, I believe it was, basically saying this stuff happens all the time. This isn't new. Everyone knows this is a thing that goes on. And basically, she quite legitimately and rightly got on a high horse and said this stuff like this needs to stop. Montgomery decided that it was absolutely appalling that the way the BBC had basically just given her a PR platform to say these things and had completely failed to quiz her on what she had personally done about to try and ensure that these sorts of things hadn't happened, as though it's her responsibility. The people whose responsibility it is to make sure this doesn't happen, Tim, are the individuals who are responsible for it, which is Harvey Weinstein.
I mean, this is classic victim blaming, isn't
it? Yeah, it's by very definition, it's saying, "Oh, why didn't you do something about it?" Because they don't have the power to do anything about it. The entire point of this is it's a power imbalance and an abuse of power.
Well, yeah, and quite so. That I mean, the Weinstein thing, it's similar to Cyril Smith. It's similar to Jimmy Savile. It's similar to the Catholic Church. It's similar to what Donald Trump said when he talked about the pussy grabbing. He said, well, when you're famous, you can do whatever you like. That clearly linking the fact that you're powerful and therefore you can do what you like. And because of the power imbalance, women don't feel they can say anything or report it. Because probably if they'd report it, someone very much like Tim Montgomery would have said, why are you slandering this man of sexual assault when you have no evidence for this?
Mm-hmm. And in so many instances for criminal acts like this, the evidence basically just boils down to he said, she said about what occurred, which is why you have such appallingly low conviction rates for crimes such as rape, because there's very rarely that much evidence to go on. Mm. Because, you know, for the most part, they don't do it in front of a load of other people who can witness it and therefore say, we saw this happen. The evidence for a lot of these things is few and far between.
So how should we talk about sexual assault then?
If you're going to make a comment on sexual assault or anything like that, compare what you want to say to those three kind of tweets and those statements that we discussed previously. And if it's anywhere near anything like that, just stop. Just don't say it. Just walk away from whatever that conversation is, that thread on Twitter or whatever, because you are not helping, you are actually hindering things, because you are basically just saying, oh, this isn't that important, oh, we don't need to pay attention to this. Because if you don't actually approach this in the right way, you're just going to end up holding the progress on this back. More generally, if you do want to talk about these sorts of issues as a bloke, it starts with educating yourself and actually trying to read things which, you know, not necessarily are going to be the things you gravitate towards naturally. There is an awful lot of literature on these sorts of topics, some of it very kind of thick volumes of academic research or whatever, others just being the Laurie Penny style kind of article writing.
Mm. In fact, a really powerful one by Suzanne Moore in The Guardian, we'll link to in the show notes about this as well, which putting it in terms of women every day experiencing sexual assault.
Absolutely. Yeah, so I'd say it starts with just educating yourself to what actually happens to women. As you say, quite often daily in various forms. Have some basic empathy, which I think is something which is where an awful lot of these sorts of comments that we've been complaining about here, where they miss the trick. They just lack a basic level of empathy for people who have been through something that is horrific.
And miss that empathy almost. There's no empathy, but there's also no understanding of the culture in which these things happen. In either, if we look at the Seb Gorka one, it's about the culture of men not being able to restrain themselves. If you look at the Tim Montgomery one, it's about the power dynamics of Hollywood. And in fact, anywhere where there is someone, whether it's a film producer, whether it's a boss, whether it's a famous person, abusing their position in some way. Yeah. And women feeling like they can't say anything at all.
Yeah, absolutely. There's been a number of articles which have been written in the past week or so by female journalists, and I'm just talking about UK ones here. But you do have the likes of Polly Toynbee coming out and talking about their experiences as a young journalist. You know, I can't remember if this was Toynbee specifically, or if this was another article, but talking about how when interviewing a politician or some media person, them deciding that actually they weren't that interested in doing this anymore, demanding and making the female journalist walk in front of them so they had a nice view whilst they were walking back to the hotel or whatever it was. There's just so many horrific stories which have kind of come out as a result of this news breaking, which shows that it isn't just a casting couch thing. You know, society is a casting couch, seemingly.
This isn't just when Polly Toynbee was a young journalist. I mean, Isabel Hartman, I think, last year talked about a remark where MPs referred to her as Totty.
Yeah, absolutely. This is something which is very much still a problem, primarily coming from, and again, I think there's a kind of a bit of a correlation here between the age groups of the people who are committing an awful lot of these things, because they are when they're in those positions of power, and the people who are commenting in the way that isn't helpful and aren't being sensible about this sort of stuff. I think they all come from a similar kind of age bracket in a lot of instances. They are slightly older, they're 40s above, and I don't quite think they've caught up with the times yet.
I think it's also trying to call out organisations like Twitter, who do very, very little when there are
literal Nazis utilising their platform to spread hate.
Or people tweeting rape threats to journalists, to people like Diane Abbott, to people like Stella Creasy. But then when Rose McGowan makes allegations about Ben Affleck, suddenly she is suspended from Twitter. And
it just makes no sense. Now, I've looked into this and I've seen what the justification from Twitter's side for kind of banning Rose McGowan for a limited time period was. Apparently she tweeted out some personal details of Ben Affleck or someone else like that. Which, yes, is bannable under, you know, Twitter's terms of use. So, fair enough in that sense. But at the same time, you aren't banning the people who are, you know, making these threats to Diane Abbott or to Stella Creasy or to just, doesn't even need to be a famous woman, just a woman who happens to have an opinion online.
Mm.
That alone is enough for people to just send you horrific abuse. And, you know, Twitter doesn't do anything about that at all. So it's the hypocrisy as much as anything else, which is what gets to me. It's like, yeah, you've got those terms and conditions. Yes, those are the rules, but you're not enforcing them fairly. Like, banning one user for it just because they're well known, but letting other people get away with it because they aren't and their targets are. Sorry, that's actually quite sickening. One last other thing I think I would want to kind of add on this kind of front is if you are a bloke who does kind of want to do something about this, actually there's one area we can do really, really well on in helping address the root causes of this sort of behaviour. And it all boils down to actual education on consent, education on relationships, and education on sex. It's something which is technically a part of the national curriculum, but isn't necessarily done in the right way, and arguably may not be dealt with effectively overall. If you really want to kind of make a difference on this sort of thing, find a way to get involved with that. Hell, even if it is just signing a petition at this stage, just be aware that these are conversations that can happen and do need to happen. And then when those conversations, you find yourself around them, you know, get involved with them. Because the more male voices we add to these sorts of conversations, the more likely it is we will see things change. Because at the end of the day, we do live in a patriarchal system where men's opinions are valued more than women's, unfortunately. And sometimes, actually, it's going to take us speaking out about something to actually make a difference and get things changed.
We'll have a show out on Sunday as per normal. I hope you've enjoyed this midweek shot. We'll have a few out over the next few weeks as well. Stay tuned.